Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The birth of a baby is usually a joyous event, but it can also be one of the most stressful times in the life of a family, as they undergo many life changes and adjustments. One in seven women are diagnosed with postnatal depression in Australia every year, although this number may actually be higher, with many women struggling without seeking diagnosis or support. A new study has been released today showing that one in three women have reported symptoms of depression at some stage in the first 4 years after the birth of their first child. And maternal depression symptom rates increase for first-time mothers 4 years after the birth of a child. These are key findings, as the prevailing view has been that mothers are most vulnerable to depression in the first couple of months after giving birth. Joining us today is Dr. Hannah Woolhouse, psychologist and senior research officer from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute and the lead author of this study. Good afternoon, Hannah.
Hello, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm very well, and thank you for joining us in this conversation as we broaden our understanding of what postnatal depression means, both in terms of what it looks like and the time that we can expect to see these symptoms start to emerge. Let me ask you a personal question. One in three women now showing symptoms in that four-year period. Yes. Were you expecting that incidence?
I have to say that we were surprised by the findings. One in three is much higher prevalence than has been reported previously. And part of the reason for the higher prevalence is that we did follow women for a longer time. So a lot of research to date has focused on women's mental health in pregnancy and the first 12 months after birth, but we really know very little about women's health after that time, and our study was designed to fill in some of those gaps. As you said, one in three women reported depression over that time, and mothers' mental health doesn't improve as children get older, and in fact it gets worse. That was another very surprising finding.
I want to explore, if I might for a moment, the difference between symptoms and it being identified as depression. How many of these symptoms do we need to have before it qualifies for that term?
There's a criteria that women need to fulfill. They need to have been experiencing a range of symptoms for 2 weeks or more to meet a clinical diagnosis of depression. So the results that we're reporting aren't a clinical diagnosis with a doctor, but they are women's responses on well-validated scales. So we use the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale. It's the most commonly used measure of depression in the postnatal period. And when women score 13 or above on that scale, it's believed that they have probable clinical depression.
Has mental medicine and treatment been behind the ball on this? In terms of when did we decide that you are most likely to have it within the first few months and decide that a broader theme across the first 4 years wasn't appropriate?
I suppose in many ways that's happened because we didn't have the evidence. We didn't know that women's mental health was at risk for such a long period of time. So these findings are really important, and we really do hope that they will inform the way that services are supporting women. But as you say, there's really been very strong assumption that women's mental health is at its worst in the first few months after childbirth, and all the postnatal care services and efforts to identify postnatal depression are really focused in that first 6 to 12 weeks.
Okay, let's look at that term of the four-year window for a moment. Are the symptoms the same across the 4 years, or are they relative to the stages of bub's growth or where mum's at? How different are those symptoms, or are we looking at the same batch?
We're looking at the exact same batch of symptoms. Yep, so things like feeling sad, feeling scared or anxious for no good reason, crying a lot of the time, feeling very overwhelmed and like things are getting on top of you. Those are some of the symptoms that that we've asked women about. And the actual symptoms are the same across time for depression, yep.
What then is the root cause, do you think, for some of these postnatal depressive episodes to kick in later on during that four-year period as opposed to earlier?
Well, when we first saw this high prevalence at 4 years, we expected to find that the birth of a second child and perhaps the added stress of caring for two or more children would explain that high prevalence. And this turned out not to be the case at all. And in fact, the reality was opposite to that. So women with one child had almost double the levels of depression than women with two or more children. So this was another very surprising finding.
Oh, yeah.
The reasons for this were related to the life circumstances of women with one child. So they were more likely to be younger mothers, to be on a low income, and to have experienced emotional or physical abuse from a partner.
These are very external triggers. Which does that change our understanding of what prompts a postnatal depressive time?
Absolutely. I think there is a bit of an assumption that hormones play the largest part in the onset of postnatal depression, but there's more and more evidence now that it's actually those external triggers. It is what's happening around a woman. It's low social support. It's problems in the relationship with her partner. It's sleep deprivation. It's things that are happening around her which we're finding are the greatest risk factors for triggering an episode of depression. And a lot of those external triggers, I suppose, do continue for women. They don't resolve in the first few months.
We're spending some time with Dr. Hannah Woolhouse, who is the lead researcher on new numbers today, indicating that in the first 4 years of baby's birth, we are seeing one in three new mums experiencing postnatal depression. We've opened the window wider and perhaps re-examined what is bringing those times of darkness to our lives. Can I ask you, Hannah, then how this changes the way we treat mums with postnatal depression?
Yes, and I think that's a really important question. We need to really prioritise support from others. So firstly, I think acknowledging how important maternal mental health is, because firstly, it's a vulnerable, challenging time for women. As you mentioned, it's a very joyful time, but it's also very stressful. Secondly, maternal depression can have long-lasting negative impacts on children. So for these reasons, we need to acknowledge how important maternal mental health is. We would argue that the focus on maternal mental health in postnatal care needs to extend well beyond the first few months after birth and well into the early years of parenting, so at least up to 4 years postpartum.
Now, this would involve both institutional change, the way that we care for mums after they leave maternity ward, and then during the different checkups, perhaps could we tie it in with maybe the regime of vaccinations with children to take better care of mum? Because these are times when they do, without any other reason, come to seek medical advice again.
Absolutely. I think that's a fantastic idea. It is one of the ways that women are in sort of structured contact with health professionals. So using that as an opportunity to check in with women about how they are is a fantastic idea. There's also the universal systems of maternal and child health care, which women do stay involved in for quite a period of time. But those tend to be very focused on child health surveillance. And I would argue that there needs to be a bit of a balancing out of that focus and to include a bit more focus on women's mental health over the longer period of time as well.
As more broadly, when it comes to mental health, we are discussing these subjects much more openly and with much more candour. Are you seeing a better response from mums who are experiencing postnatal depression in that the ramifications for what this means about them as being weak or fallible or some of the other preconceived judgments that often we put on ourselves are starting to abate?
I think that's such a good point to raise. One of the reasons that we're so keen to get this information out is that we want mothers of older children to know that this is what's happening. So there's been fantastic awareness raising around postnatal depression. Women have been really strongly encouraged to look out for the warning signs of that, look out for the symptoms, and to seek help if they're having trouble in that postnatal period. But given this high prevalence at 4 years postpartum, that's a much less well-known fact. So I suspect that women who may be experiencing problems later down the track are not going to be as aware of that risk for themselves. So I think it's really important that this is out in the community, that women know it's not uncommon to be having troubles at this later time point.
And that doesn't say anything about your worth as a mum or as a wife or as a person generally.
That's right. That's right. And as you said before, I think we are starting to see that is the external triggers that are some of the strongest risk factors for depression, rather than it being something that comes from within the mother. That's a really important message for women as well.
Dr. Hannah Woolhouse, thank you so much for your time this afternoon and for your research as well.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about one in three new mums inside the first 4 years experiencing postnatal depression, where once our attention was mostly focused on those immediate months after baby was born. So given that it's one in three mums over 4 years experiencing this, life on the inside of postnatal depression. What can we as family and friends do to support you when you're in that time? And perhaps what words can we perhaps be more attentive to when we hear you trying to explain what it is that you are living through? Which brings us to our next guest. Kylie Brown is an ambassador for PANDA. Now, that stands for Post and Antenatal Depression Association. Kylie experienced life inside postnatal depression and is the author of the blog The Good, The Bad and The Unspoken, where she shares in great detail about her experience of postnatal depression. Kylie, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Can you tell us about what your world was like when you were in the midst of postnatal depression?
I guess it was, like a lot of people explain, quite a dark, confusing time for me. I didn't have the symptoms that are listed as postnatal depression, so that was quite challenging to sort of find out what was wrong with me, and I guess that's why it took so long to be diagnosed, because I wasn't diagnosed for 18 months, but the symptoms I had sort of started during the pregnancy.
And you were atraditional, as they call it in mental health terms. You didn't fit necessarily the typical bill.
No, I often, you know, when I was trying to... So my main symptom was dizziness. I would sometimes, you know, I'd have to sit down. I couldn't, like, I had extreme vertigo, and my face would go white, and I'd almost feel like my blood sugars were too low or something. Sometimes driving the car, I'd have to pull over because I didn't feel like I could react if anyone pulled out in front of me, or I wasn't concentrating. So that necessarily isn't listed as a postnatal depression symptom. So I think mine was more towards the anxiety side. Mm-hmm. So I would often Google everything, but Google postnatal depression, seeing though I'd just had a baby, and I didn't feel like I fit that mold, so I would skip over it and, you know, go on to look for the next.
When did you start to realise that this might be something that you should put your hand up and ask for support about? And did you go through any of the phases that many mums do when it comes to perhaps hiding because of some sense of self-shame out of what you're experiencing?
Oh, absolutely. I think as I've always wanted to be a mother, and it was very much planned. I just got married. We wanted to have children, everything. We'd just build a new house. So everything was completely perfect in my world. And then I had this beautiful, healthy baby. For me, it was so confusing. And I guess I didn't want to show my husband that I was struggling, because one, I felt ungrateful for everything that we had, and also, as you know, I look up to my mum, and my mum did such a great job with three of us, and I think it's a pride thing, and it's definitely embarrassing, and you know, you just feel like a failure, and you've got one child that sleeps 14 hours a night, and I'm complaining that I'm struggling. Yeah. So to still be tired, and you just feel really ungrateful. I have people, you know, good friends going through IVF, and you just, it's like you just cannot accept that, you know, it's a good thing, and that's a really awful, awful feeling to have.
What kind of release did you feel then when you were able to air it in a safe place and then find that you weren't alone?
Oh, I did... I sort of tried, but at times, but as a family member, what we do to each other is support. So obviously, if you're saying, oh, I think I might have postnatal depression, what outsiders see as being the right thing to do is encourage and say, no, you don't. This is what you've always wanted. You're doing such a good job.
Good point, yeah.
And that is exactly what... unless you've experienced a mental illness, that's the perfect thing to say. Yeah. That's, you know, lovely, that's supportive, but it's actually the worst. So in my head, I was like, I can't get it. I cannot have it because I'm letting people down, and they're so supportive. So it was kind of almost the support was too much, so that you couldn't actually air how you were feeling.
Yeah, that's a fascinating point. I've never heard that point made, but you're right. We're all guilty of saying, no, you're fine. There is nothing wrong. Everything will be okay. I'm here for you. That's my way of making sure that you know you're supported. But the truth is, I'm actually compounding the problem. As an ambassador for PANDA, Kylie, I know that you're happy to take a call. Would you mind if I do that now?
No problem.
Sandy joins us on 1300 40 2020. Sandy, you experienced postnatal depression well after the 4 years even, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. Well, I'm actually within... Well, it started a bit earlier, but I did acknowledge after the 4 years, so within the fifth year, that's, which is now, am I only acknowledging and accepting what the doctors were telling me.
Sandy, you also... something rang true when we were having a chat with Hannah a few moments ago, that the traditional understanding of postnatal depression being hormonal is actually wrong, and that it's many of the external factors that made life more difficult for you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure about the hormonal part only, but I know for a fact that external factors, as such as living away from home, having your child away from family members, like I'm from overseas, and that was just very difficult. So that just made it, I think, made it even worse. And also other things such as just, you know, going to a mother's group and seeing other children meeting their milestones and looking at your child and feeling like they're not meeting the milestones or there's something wrong with them, things like that. I also had the death of a loved one, like a parent who just passed away a few weeks after my baby was born. So it's all those things, and I just said, well, you know, you kind of, you know, just think, yeah, well, I can do it.
Yeah.
Up until, you know, it gets to a point where you're like, what is going on? And you acknowledge that, yeah, it is postnatal depression.
Kylie, Sandy's in a way making the same point that you are, in that in a way our social networks, whether they be mothers' groups or our interpersonal relationships, don't make it easier. And, you know, there's Sandy comparing her life with those in the mothers' group and thinking, well, you know, we're not at the same place that they are.
No, I definitely believe that mothers' groups can be good, but I also think that they can be the worst thing, because if you are in a state of postnatal depression, comparing what your situation's like to others is not, you know, good for you. And but it is human nature. So if you're looking at other kids at the same age, you don't know what to tick their milestones off, only the same age group, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then if you think that they're not meeting those milestones, then she would have, Sandy would have seemed like felt a failure as a mother, because you then take it back on yourself again.
Sandy, how did you start to find your way out?
I had friends who just, you know, like picked it up that you know, things were not very normal, and encouraged me to just go back and see my GP, and also because I was beginning to have neurological problems, as in muscles just twitching and all that, the neurologist did say to me, you know, after several tests, he said, look, I can't see anything wrong. You actually have a condition that is called benign fasciculations, and that's can be caused by severe stress. And so that's when I kind of went, oh, well, I have been stressed, and I acknowledged it, and now I'm seeking you know, help for that depression, you know, just counseling, you know, talking to someone about it, and just acknowledging that, look, yes, mental illness does happen, and it just doesn't reflect who you are, or negatively on who you are, what you can do. It's just one of those things that can happen to someone.
Sandy, thanks so much for your call. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye. Kylie, that's a very similar story to yours in a way, isn't it? That sometimes apparently unrelated symptoms are actually something much bigger.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Sandy might have felt the same when she gets a negative test back.
Yeah.
Not that you want to know that there's something seriously wrong with you, but you just want an answer for this. And if you're not finding those answers, once again, you know, it's that heartbreak again of, I just want to get better and move on with my life. And I think if you were to approach someone who you think, that I would say more things like, you know, is it what you expected? Is this what you were thinking motherhood would be? So more putting the questions back on them. And I always talk to people and say, oh God, you know, and talk lightheartedly of the things that stress us out, because sometimes you just need to laugh
and not feel like you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You've gone on to become a mum the second time around. Were you worried about having a repeat of some of the symptoms that you had with your first bub?
Oh, absolutely. So when I got to about 6 months, I went to my obstetrician one day and I just couldn't stop crying. And then he talked about, you know, we may have to put you in a mother-baby facility and blah, blah, blah. And that just, for me, I was like, no, because I've learned all these tools and I don't need to go back there. I'm just going to sort it out now. So we started treatment at the 6 month mark of my pregnancy, so that way I felt I was in control, and obviously I had days, but it wasn't as full on because I knew what was going on, I knew what I had to do, I used the techniques that I had been taught, and I was able to speak to my husband openly about it and, you know, just say, oh, I feel a bit teary today, or I feel a bit overwhelmed, and it's not a big thing to explain, it's just a part of who you are, and the more you learn, the more you can just get on with your life. And I'm actually 32 weeks pregnant now, so I'm about to have my third.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is so very cool.
So, yeah, I just have followed that, and I think that's what the best thing is, power. And I know there's a lot of great information out there, but if you're in that denial of I don't have it, you don't go and seek it. So I think first of all is, you know, talking to someone, and that's why I wrote my blog, because I thought maybe, and I had so many responses and people telling me stuff they've never told anyone, and it's that telling your story to a stranger without judgment, mm-hmm. and not that your family, once they realise what's going on, you know, should judge you, but that's, you kind of just need to spit it all out and say how you're feeling and not have that judgment. And that's where helplines like Panda and that can help, because you're just telling someone and they'll listen, and that's all you need initially to start the process.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to give the phone number for the Panda line as well as your blog site in a few moments' time. Just wrap up, if you would, for us, Kylie, something useful. This is a very bloke question, so forgive me, but what can we do better to support mums who are going through postnatal depression? Obviously saying everything's okay isn't helpful. What is?
No. I think from the beginning, especially if the mother's had a traumatic birth, I think encouraging them to talk about the birth and getting help with that, because a lot of it can trigger from the birth. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, everyone walks in and they'll be all gushing about the baby and you don't know what that mother's just been through, and that's what happened to me, and you don't want to sit there going, but what about me? That was awful.
Yeah.
But being able to talk to someone about the birth, asking, yeah, is this what you expected? You know, is this what you thought motherhood would be? What do you think would be different? And more questions rather than telling people, and yeah, asking not so much how you're feeling, because that'll just open up tears anyway to any new mother. But but yeah, just suggesting articles or anything that you think might resonate with that person, and I guess to prove that certain feelings are normal, but if they build up, they can become a problem. And if you are a mother and you are feeling this way, get onto it now so you don't waste time like I did 18 months where I don't remember with my daughter, and you know, I can't get that back. So get onto it early, don't worry about what people think, and just get your life back and enjoy these moments with your children, because yeah, you don't get it back.
Kylie Brown, brilliant to speak with you, and best of luck with your third bub.
Thank you.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.